How are you doing? My name is Christopher Brown, host of the podcast Sports Talk with Chris, and you're now tuning in to my newest episode. Sit back, relax, enjoy, and have a great day. Hello, everybody. How you doing? Hope you're having a good day, and I hope you continue to have a good day. In this episode, we're going to be breaking down the NBA draft, the good, the bad, the ugly, just giving my opinions on what I saw happen. You know, there's a lot to break down when it comes to a draft, you know, and I'm going to talk about everything in this episode, and I got some surprises for you at the end, so sit back, relax, and enjoy. All right, let's get right into it. Before I start anything, I want to explain the tweet that I made, you know, the day of the draft, the day before the draft, when I said the Warriors and the Spurs are the standard versus the Brooklyn Nets. And this is what I mean by that. When I look at the Brooklyn Nets, this is the second time that they traded away their young future in order to win a championship. The first time they did it is when they had Deron Williams, when they had Brook Lopez, when they had Joe Johnson, you know, a very good, you know, three guys in NBA. But they decided to add Paul Pierce and add Kevin Garnett, and they traded away a lot of their future to do that. And again, they didn't even make it past the second round, if I'm not mistaken, in the playoffs. And that team ended up folded. And then they had to go in a nasty rebuild, had bad teams with no draft picks. And then, you know, you fast forward, you have a Spencer Dinwiddie, you have a LeVert, you have a D'Angelo Russell, you have a Jared Allen, you have some good young pieces, you know, that you can build on. And then you bring in Kyrie Irving. Then you bring in DeAndre Jordan. And then you bring in Kevin Durant. And then you make a huge trade for James Harden, and you're honestly giving up your future and saying, okay, we're trying to win a championship. That is the goal in mind. The goal in mind for them is, okay, let's try to win a championship. Okay, you trade for Ben Simmons. Again, the goal in mind, even though Ben Simmons is young, the goal in mind is to win now. And when I look at what's transpiring right now when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie, you know, there are a lot of reports that he wants out. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but I'm really going to touch on that this week. I don't want to give up too much on, you know, right now. I'll talk about that towards the end, but there are a lot of reports saying Kyrie wants out. You already got rid of James Harden when you made a massive trade to get him. And again, this team has not made it out the second round. And when I look at what happened, you know, the year the Bucks won the championship, okay, no Kyrie, you know, no James Harden. If they're healthy, in my opinion, they're winning the championship that year specifically, because I look at how Kevin Durant took them to game 7. But that's a lot of what ifs, okay? You don't trade your future and just be content on a what if. Oh, yeah, well, if we were healthy, we would have won the championship. But no, you want to win the championship. And so when I look at what the Nets did, trading away the young future, now Kyrie wants out. And if Kyrie leaves, depending on what they get back, Kevin Durant's possibly going to win out. And yes, you have a Ben Simmons, but I don't know what his value looks like right now. And he's young, so you can build around him. But the point I'm trying to make is they traded away their future twice in the span of 10 years to win a championship. And it's only hurt them. And so if Kyrie, if KD leaves, hopefully they can, you know, bring back some draft picks. But when I look at what the Rockets and what OKC and stuff have with all these trades and stuff going down, it's a lot of pick swaps. You know, it's a lot of picks that they don't have. And so when I look at their future, it's going to be hard for them to really rebuild. And the reason why I say the Warriors and the Spurs are the standard is because look at the Warriors. You know, look at when they first made it to the finals. That team, you know, other than a good signing of Andre Iguodala, but most of their guys, their top three core guys, four or five core guys, they were drafted. They built their team through the draft. They didn't go out and trade away their future picks. They had Steph Curry lottery pick. They had Harrison Barnes lottery pick. They had Klay Thompson lottery pick. You know, you had two picks in one draft where you got Ezeli and you got Draymond Green. They didn't try to move away their entire future and the young guys, you know, and try to sell out for a championship. They built their culture through the draft. They built a culture. That's one thing I want to harp on. They built a culture. Then I look at this previous year. You draft Moody. Well, first it goes from Wiseman. I'm going to even take out, you got Poole. You draft Poole. You draft Wiseman. You draft Moody. And you draft Kuminga. Those are phenomenal draft picks. And yes, they made a trade to get Andrew Wiggins, but they didn't have to give up that much. If anything, they won a trade. They got more. You know, they got the Timberwolves pick, what turned out to be, if I'm not mistaken, Moody or Kuminga. Regardless, they had two top 8 picks last year. and got two guys that's going to be there for the future. And then now if they want to, they can make a trade for established player, but they already established their culture. They already built their team through the draft. Same thing with the Spurs. Tim Duncan drafted. Manu drafted. Tony Parker drafted. Robinson drafted. Kawhi drafted. They built their team through the draft. I look at what they're doing right now. Keldon Johnson drafted. Lonnie Walker drafted. Dejounte Murray drafted. These are teams that have success in building themselves through the draft. And so when I look at a lot of teams, you know, selling out for a championship, it may work, it may not work. But right now the Nets are showing that selling, you know, your future for a championship isn't working. It hasn't worked just yet. It depends on what pieces you get. Now, you could say the Lakers, it worked for the Lakers, right? You can say that. It works for the Lakers, but the Lakers already have a culture. The Nets don't have a culture. But this is something I'll elaborate more on. But, you know, when I made that tweet, that's just how I felt, because I'm looking at this Nets team, man, and, you know, we all thought they were going to be the next thing. And like I said, they've yet to make it out the second round. One of the big three has already been traded. And if Kyrie leaves, it's a heavy chance that Kevin Durant leaves, depending on what they get back. And that's just bad for the Nets organization. And in my opinion, that should just be a sign that says, okay, we're going to have to go through this rebuild. And I'm not going to harp on how I feel the East is going to be the next couple of years, but It was draft time, and I just look at the two teams that built their team through the draft and the success they had versus the Nets that have no success. And I look at their two different, you know, styles when it comes to building a team. And that's why I love the draft, because you can really build your team through the draft and make smart moves. You don't have to get away everything to get established players. Yes, it, you know, can work. But I look at these young guys getting drafted and the impact they can make, you know, and the culture they can help bring to your team. And, you know, that's why I just love the draft. And that's why I love teams. I'm going to talk about them like the Thunder, like the Rockets that's been building their team through the draft. And I'm excited to see what they're going to be. But, you know, let's talk about the NBA draft. Enough about the Nets and the Warriors and the Spurs and all that. My takeaways from the draft. You know, I heard a lot of people saying there's no pop-out stars. There are no, you know, box office, quote unquote, guys. There's no Zion, you know, that's gonna, you know, be instant box office. There's no LeBron, there's no KD, none of these flashy guys. But I feel like this draft has a ton of potential. Honestly, when I look at the top three, I mean, your top three are all bigs. Granted, they're the new style of big men, but they're all three bigs. You love to see it. You have a guy in Ivy that's explosive. That's going to help Detroit become box office again. You have so many quality guys that are going to impact the team on a winning level. And I think, you know, I'd rather have a draft like that than a draft that has one star and a whole bunch of guys, you know. How about a draft that have a lot of guys that's going to impact the team right away? And I think that's what this draft has. And so getting right into it, let's talk about the top three picks. Now, to start off, you know, I know he's the second pick, but Chet Holmgren, I mean, he's a guy that I feel like everybody knew he would go number two to OKC. Regardless who was one, whether it was Paolo, which ended up being, or Jabari Smith, I always felt like Chet was going to go number two. And it was obvious, because when Paolo was selected number one, the Thunder had a chance to get Jabari Smith, but their guy was always Chet Holmgren, which I love. But let's go right into Paolo. I mean, honestly, I was not surprised he was the number one pick. I honestly thought he should have been the number one pick. And right now, I believe he has the most complete offensive game. I think he is the best with the ball in his hand. I think he can score on all three levels. They all can score on all three levels, but he's a guy that I feel like can create his shot better than all three of these guys. He's the most polished right now, I think, on offensive end. And when you're going to the Orlando Magic, you know, they need some scoring. They need some scoring. Now, a lot of people are surprised they didn't take, you know, Jabari Smith, because when you look at this team, they were one of the worst teams when it comes to three-point shooting. They were 28th when it comes to three-point percentage. And that's just awful. That's just flat out awful. And so, yes, whether Smith shooting 42% from the 3-point line or Chet shooting 39% be more effective just for that, you know, reason alone, it would be. But I think they need a number one clear cut offensive scorer, offensive threat, a guy that's going to be their go to guy. And I think that could be Paolo. A lot of people talk about his defense saying, you know, he's the worst ranked quote unquote defender out of all three of these guys. When you're 6'10, 250 pounds, because that's what Paolo is, that build. 6'10", 250. They honestly sometimes look like a small forward at 6'10", 250. Average 17 and 8, you know, over there at Duke. When you have that type of build with a 7-foot-plus wingspan, you know, defense, yes, you have to be, you know, defense takes skill. But for the most part, just to be an above-average defender, energy and hustle. And when you have a build like that, And when you're as mobile and, you know, athletic as he is, that can guard 3-5 and that can hold his own on the switch, I mean, he can be an above average defender in today's NBA. And when I look at this Magic team and I look at their culture, I think their culture should be defense. Now, yes, they have a lot of questions because they're front court heavy, in my opinion. Like this team, it was a lot of question marks on what they would do because they have so many guys on their roster. You know, you got guards like Cole Anthony Suggs, you got Markelle Fultz. You know, then you have bigs like Wendell Carter, Mo Bamba. You know, then you have forwards like Francis Wagner. So, like, the question was, what would they do? And I honestly love Paolo's fit for this team. I think, like I said, he's going to be coming in. He's going to be a top three scorer for this team coming in that forward position. I think bringing Jonathan Isaac back healthy, I think he should be the starter. And I think they should really focus on just being a gritty team. Again, yes, they need to work on three-point shooting, but when you're in the draft, a lot of people say go best available. And I honestly think Paolo was the right fit for this team at going in at number one. He is, yes, you know, you look at his three-point percentage, and it's 33%. It's the last thing I'm going to say. He has a good shot for him. He has good mechanics. That can easily be worked on. There's a lot of people that shot bad from the three-point line in college and became a good NBA shooter. And there's a lot of guys that shot good in college and became a bad NBA shooter. So when I look at his game, I honestly think he's going to fit. And out of all three of these picks, I think all three of them are going to fit right on our team. And I'm going to talk about that. Going to number two, we have Chet Holmgren. Man, I think he's going to thrive in OKC. This is a guy that, you know, we heard about him early, you know. That's one thing I love about, you know, the new day and age. You hear about these guys when they're young. So you heard about Chet when he's in middle school. And, you know, a lot of people compare him to KD. And I always knew he wanted to be playing like KD in the NBA because I always could tell he's more of a big guy. You know, I don't know if he's as agile and, you know, quick acceleration as KD is. KD really is a guard that just is 7 foot. But when I look at Chet, I always knew he would play big. And, you know, I followed his career. I saw him go to Gonzaga. You know, I'm not surprised. And he played very, very well at Gonzaga. I mean, you know, wasn't looked at as their number one option, but quite honestly, could have went anywhere else and averaged 20 plus. But he went to a real team. And that's one thing that I give college, you know, credit for. A lot of people saying we don't need college today. I say, you know, keep the 1 year. Then I like the G League thing because one thing, you know, a college will do is to tell you the team structure, especially if you go to a team like a Kentucky, like a Duke, like a Gonzaga, like a Michigan. And so he averaged 14 points, about 10 rebounds. He was the nation's best shot blocker. And he shot 39% from the three-point line. So how do I feel about this move for the Oklahoma City Thunder? I love it. Because when I look at Chet, he's not going to look at, you know, being looked at as the guy that has to be their number one option when it comes to offense. You have Giddey. You have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those two guys are going to make life real easier for him by attacking the defense. A lot of pick and pops, a lot of pick and rolls. And he's a 39% three-point shooter, and he's only going to get better. He's going to have a lot of attempts at the three-point line. He's going to get a lot of easy layups and dunks playing with those two guys. So his offensive game, which is already nice, he can create his own shot, but he's not going to be forced to. You know, and I think that's really, really, you know, wonderful when you have a young guy and he's not being forced to be the man so he can grow into his game. And I think when I look at this Thunder team, I love their roster. Like, straight up, I love their roster. I love the defense, you know, and I think he brings it home on the defensive end being that rim protector. When you have a Lu Dort, who's a very good defender, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a very good defender. So now you bring in a guy who's going to be a rim protector. I love what they did at Chet Holmgren, and I think he has a chance to be really, really special. Again, he doesn't have to make the huge impact on offensive end, but you know he can make an impact. On the defensive end, you're getting the best shot blocker in the draft. So in my opinion, I love what OKC did. And again, we all knew, especially, well, I can say I knew that Chet was going to be their guy. Chet was going to be their guy. I hate butchering people's names, so I'm not trying to do it on purpose. But we all knew Chet was going to be their guy coming in at number two. A lot of people thought he could go number one. I mean, and I'm going to keep saying this when it comes to this big three. I feel like they're all number one picks. But the question is, who's going to fit better with what team? And I think they all got good fits. And coming in at number three, we had Jabari Smith. One thing I say about Jabari Smith Jr. is I love the fact that he's upset that he went number three. You could see on his face, he was disgusted that he went number three. And I personally don't think it's because he's going to the Rockets, more so that he just wanted to say, hey, I'm the best player in this draft. I'm deserving of the number one pick, wherever it is. And You know, I thought Paolo was going to end up going to the Rockets because of all these reports. Again, I thought Paolo could easily be number one. I thought he should have been number one, but I thought he was going to go to the Rockets. And when I saw the fact that Paolo was taking number one, I knew Jabari was going number three. And I think I like that more. I think I like Jabari Smith Jr. more with the Rockets. And here's why. When I look at Jalen Green, when I look at Kevin Porter Jr., these are guys that they're going to have the ball in their hand. Kevin Porter Jr. playing that point guard position, but he's more of a combo guard. What I mean by that is we saw him score 50, but he can also get double-digit assists. So he's a guy that's going to get guys involved, but he can also create his own shot. Jalen Green is becoming a player that he's going to be their number one option on offense. I think that's what they're tooling him to be, a guy. He's learning how to play more off ball. His 3-point shot is becoming better. He's learning how to score faster. He's going to be their main guy when it comes to the offensive end. The two guards, honestly, are going to be their number one and two option. You know, you got rid of Wood. You brought in Sagan. When I look at Sagan, he's their big guy, their center. He's a guy that's one of the best post players at a young age. And he can also score and knock down a 15-footer. So when I look at Jabari Smith, the value he's going to bring, one on the defensive end, he's a versatile defender. And you love that when you have a young team. And they have some good defenders on his team. But he's a very versatile defender. Then he shot 42% from the 3-point line at Arbor. So when I look at Christian Wood, you know, and I'm bringing him up because he was the 4-5 guy. And Jabari Smith's going to be more of the 3-4. But when I, you know, moved to four, really. But when I look at Christian Wood, the reason I keep bringing him up is he had a lot of pick and pop opportunities, open three opportunities, playing with Jalen Green, playing with Kevin Porter Jr. And I look at Jabari Smith, again, shooting 42% from the 3-point line, 17 points. He's going to get a lot of those opportunities. He's going to get a lot of lob opportunities, playing with two guards that love to push the pace and go downhill. So he's going to get open shots. And right now, coming in, he's going to be very good as that secondary scorer. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. His game's going to continue to evolve. But he's going to show, you know, how he's a knockdown shooter, how he can finish at the rim. And I think the next step, and he's a versatile defender, but I think the next step for him is becoming better when it comes to scoring with the ball in his hands. I think that is what Paolo does the best out of all three. I think Paolo can create his shot better than all three of those guys. And that's, you know, the big question mark, because he shot 40%, you know, from the field and 42% from the 3-point line, but he finished at the rim at a 60-some% clip. The problem is he's not the best, you know, decision maker. He's not the best with the ball in his hands getting to his spots. And that can be worked on. But what do you bring right now? A versatile defender that can score, that can knock down the trade ball. And that's what something Houston needs right now. That's going to help them for the future. And I love what Houston did with the number 3 pick. Now, after talking about the top 3 picks, let's talk about some trades. Some things that I wish I would have saw. And with the number 4 pick, the Sacramento Kings were on the board. And I'll admit, although I love who they drafted, again, I think he's a perfect fit for them. But I also believe they could have got him at 7, at 8. When I look at teams that really wanted, you know, Ivy, the Pistons were 1. You know, the Knicks were 2. Wizards, I believe, could have used Ivy. The Pacers, I believe, would have drafted Ivy. The Pelicans, I believe, would have drafted Ivy. The Spurs, I mean, almost every single team inside the lottery really wanted Ivy. And teams outside of the lottery would have traded for Ivy. And our problem is the Kings, I feel like, didn't look to trade that pick enough. And that's the problem that I have with the Kings. I'm glad they didn't draft them, only because this has been, I don't know how many times and how many years that they drafted a guard. They traded with Haliburton last year, which was, I think, you know, I just confused on how you draft Haliburton and Mitchell. And so I'd have been scratching my head even more if they'd have drafted Ivy. But the thing is, when you have a number 4 pick and you don't trade it and you draft a guy. And again, I love who they drafted. I love Keegan Murray out of Iowa. I love what he can bring. I think he can help them win right now. I think he can honestly be a good player in the future as well. A lot of people say his ceiling is low. I don't think it's low. I think he's a tremendous player. But the problem is, again, you could have got this guy all the way, I believe, at 8. Honestly. You know, I don't understand why they didn't trade this pick or draft Ivy and they looked to trade him. Because, again, the Pistons would have made a move for him. The Knicks would have made a move for him. And I'm going to talk about them a little bit later. The Pistons, I said them already. I'm sorry. But I'm just so aggravated they didn't trade this guy. The Pacers, the Pelicans, I believe, could have drafted Ivy and would have drafted Ivy if he was available. But instead, they don't do it. Instead, they take a guy who, like I said, they could have drafted. And when I look at what the Pistons, you know, got, I look at what the Knicks got, you know, just for trading their pick. And I'm going to talk about the Knicks a little bit later. You know, well, I'm going to talk about the Knicks right after this. The Knicks made a trade with the Thunder, got three future first-round picks, but all those first-round picks are protected. That's fine. But they did, they got all that just to get, what, the number 12, number 11 pick? Imagine what you would have got for the number 4 pick. So I'm just saying, if this team is in win-now mode, with that number 4 pick, I'm trading, moving back, and I'm acquiring assets for the team. I'm getting another player plus the guy I want. I believe, again, they could have got him at 8-9. What the Kings do, what this organization is known for, not making the best choices when it comes to draft night. Again, I applaud them for not taking Ivy because that would have been another guard on their roster, which I don't know where he'd have got his playing time. And I don't know about the fit. But again, I mean, I just don't understand why the Kings did not trade their pick. You know, I don't understand. And I keep saying, like, this dude is talented. Like, he is super talented. He was a lottery pick. He honestly, a lot of people had him in the top five when it comes to value. Like, this dude is a bucket. Big, can score, can shoot. He has the whole package. But I just don't know if the Kings made the right choice and not trying to make a trade. And I believe they could have got a trade done in order to move back, acquire more assets. That's the problem I think everybody has with the Kings. A lot of people saying Ivy should have been a number 4 pick. But I look at fit and I look at value. Yes, he's the best available. But no. This time, you make a trade, you make your team better. Another team, you know, I'm just talking about trades that happened at the draft. I want to talk about the Knicks and that trade, you know, getting three future first round picks and they're not even protected. I mean, they're protected. And, you know, they made that. I'll say this, and I agree with Stephen A. Smith. When you have a lottery pick going into the draft and you need that lottery pick, you need something coming out this draft, you take a lottery player. You get the talent. There was a lot of talented guys that could help this Knicks roster out. You know, and so, yes, you get three future first round picks that, you know, you can help trade and bring guys in. But when I look at the Knicks, they've yet to do that. You know, when has the Knicks ever brought in a top free agent guy? You know, it's been a while since the Carmelo Anthony and Amar'e Stoudemire Knicks. That's the last time they were good. I don't count what they did, you know, they just had guys that could hit tough shots because that's what they were. Julius Randle was just hitting tough shots with Thibodeau. They were never a team I think people were ever scared of to making real noise, and it showed this year. And I believe they should have drafted a guy for the future. But instead, they traded to get, you know, future, you know, picks, protected picks. You know, they're going to try to, you know, put them on contracts, move guys out. But the player they're talking about bringing in is Jalen Brunson. And I love Jalen Brunson. I mean, Villanova guy. I watched him play all the years he was at Villanova. And I knew what he was going to be for the Mavs. And I knew, you know, I'm not surprised on how he performed in the playoffs in this season entirely with the Mavs. But you mean to tell me that you're basing your free agent over, you know, your free agency over Jalen Brunson? And there's no disrespect. It is no disrespect at all. Because we saw a guy in T-Mac that barely played and went to Orlando, became a mega star. So I'm not trying to disrespect Jalen Brunson. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, who else are you trying to bring in? Because you don't trade away a lottery pick, you know, just to bring in a Jalen Brunson who has to prove it. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But, man, a lot of Knicks fans, you know, are upset. And I can't wait to talk to my guy Kenny to see how he feels. But I know Stephen Smith, you know, is upset. And rightfully so. When you have a lottery pick, you take that lottery pick. Now, another trade that went down, you know, trading away the number 23 pick and then the green for Anthony Melton. And now when I look at it, you know, okay, we got Maxey, the number 21 pick. There's always value in the late first round if you know how to draft. But I love what we brought in and what he's going to bring to the 76ers organization, a 3-and-D guy, that guard position that can be real, real tough. He's bringing in our toughness, you know. And I think the Sixers, honestly, you know, it's sad to see Danny Green go, honestly. But when I look at this team, they're trying to get younger for now and the future. And I think Melton can help us win now and plus the future. Now, a trade that I wanted to see happen is the Thunder. Now, don't get it twisted. I love what the Thunder did in this draft. I mean, you have three top 12 picks. It doesn't get any better than that. But then I look at it like, man, they have three top 12 picks. How can it get better than that? You know, you draft your guy in Chet. I'm just real surprised they didn't package those two picks and try to move up. And that's this is where I might rant and ramble a little bit because I'm just curious on what the Thunder is doing, you know. And while I'm making this podcast, I'm going to pull up the Thunder's roster because, like I said, I love SGA. I love Dort, who became, you know, we saw Dort just take off in that bubble defensive-wise, and we all, you know, his shooting was so inconsistent. Now he's become a real legit two-way player, not just 3-and-D, a real legit two-way player. The past two seasons, that's what I've been seeing out of Dort. A legit two-way player that's going to get the bag when it's time for him to get the bag. I just want to put that out there. He's going to get that bag. You know, and so when I look at what they have on their roster, you got SGA. He's averaging about 24, 6-6. You got, you know, Dort averaging 17. And you got Giddey. Those are your three guys. Your fourth guy is Bazley. You got Trey Mann, who you drafted. You got Roby, but your three guys, honestly, are Alexander, Dort, and Giddey. Chet is your big guy. Chet is your big guy. So how can you complete that? I'm honestly surprised they didn't, you know, try to get a Dern. I think that starting five would have been nice. He could come off the bench until he's ready. Or I'm, you know, surprised they didn't take a shot at a younger guy, you know, just to, for getting bringing in a younger guy. Like, the point I'm trying to make is, I love what they did in the draft and who they brought in. Like, I love who they got, you know, with their, you know, back-end team picks. And I'm going to talk about them later. I love the talent there. But I'm really surprised they didn't try to move up and get a Sharp. Try to move up, you know, get a Duren. Well, honestly, they could have drafted Duren. I didn't even move up. They had a chance to draft Duren. Well, you know, surprised that they didn't try to make a trade and bring in a young guy on that roster. Because I believe this team, like, I think Stephen A. Smith say this. Like, are they going to try to win now, or is this going to be talent evaluation? We know Sam Presti has an eye for talent. We know that. But when is the switch going to be made for them to win now, you know? That's really what I'm curious about. Like, how many draft, you have draft picks until 2027, like 15 plus, first rounds. When are you waiting to flip that to become a winner? You know, like, what is your time frame? Are you waiting till the Warriors are done, till the Lakers done? You know, because I'll be honest, the Mavs are young. The Nuggets, they have Jokic. He's somewhat still, he's in his prime. The Grizzlies, they're going to be young, and they're going to be there, you know? So what is he waiting for? Honestly, like I said, the Mavs are going to be young, and they're going to be here. The Grizzlies, those two teams specifically, and I'll add in the Nuggets. Those three teams specifically, their players are young in their prime, are getting in their prime, and they will be there. The Warriors, they're going to be there in the future because look what they've been doing in their draft. And so those are four teams. You know, the Lakers going to be the Lakers, but they're on the older side. The Clippers, again, they're on the older side. The Suns are a question mark. I don't want to say the West is wide open, but for now in the future, there's four teams, I think. And so when I look at the Thunder, I just want to know what their timetable is. When are they going to flip the switch to say, okay, let's win? That's what I'm curious about, because it's going to be hard to sign guys to come to OKC. You're going to have to make trades. And so I'm just surprised that they're not looking to bring in a young talent. And again, we have lottery picks, and when you're making these trades, you're making it for guys like, I just throw a name out there, like a DeJounte Murray. You know, young guys, right, that are young, and they're going to be in a, they're young and in their prime, and they're going to have a long career. And again, I'm just throwing the names out there, but, you know, I'm just curious on their timetable. That's it. You know, when you have three top 12 picks, that just, you know, you can move up. You can do a lot with that. And like I said, I got the guy in Chet. And I'm not mad at what they did with their, you know, next two picks, but I'm just, you know, scratching my head on their timetable of winning. Because when I look at the roster, again, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, their guy. And he's young, 23 years old. Lou Dort, 22 years old, their two-way guy. Josh Giddey, 19 years old, their true playmaker. Right? And then there's a lot of other people that they just had to plug and play because they have a lot of injuries on their team. You know? Bagley might be their fourth, you know, favorite player. Bagley's 21. But still, it's so much room for improvement for this team. And I get, you know, they added bodies, and I'm going to talk about what they did with their, you know, last two picks. So, you know, it's understandable, but I'm just surprised they didn't try to go up and get a guy. I don't know, man. I'm just talking and thinking. Like I said, I was going to ramble when it came to this Thunder thing because you got three top 12 picks. It's like everybody has an opinion, and me too, on what you should do, what you can do. And I trust Sam Presti and talent. I love the Giddey pick. I love what they did in Giddey, and I love what they did with these two guys. Again, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. When I have two picks back-to-back, you know, back-to-back, it's just so much you could do. And that's the conversation. And that's the question I'm going to pose, and I'm going to move on. What would you do if you were the Thunder? Are you taking two guys? Are you trading up into the top 10? You know? Are you trading for one of the top 10 guys? You're going to trade for some young talent in the NBA? That's honestly the question I pose. But moving on, you know, I don't want to dwell on that forever. Let's talk about some winners of the draft. Some winners, some losers. You know, I think that's the conversation to be had. Winners. Pistons. It's not even close. It's not even close. The Pistons, by far, are the winners of the draft. Not only, you know, let's start off with this. They got their guy. They were so upset that they wanted, you know, be able to get their guy because they fell at number 5 and we all knew who the top 4 was going to be. And they didn't have to make a trade, honestly, to get Ivy. I want to look at Ivy and what he's going to bring, right? You got a guy that's going to match up well with Cade Cunningham. And Cade Cunningham, in my opinion, is, you know, he's a very good player. And he has the ability to, you know, to be a playmaker. He's the combo guard, right? The combo guard that you want. They can play 1-3. And when I look at Killian Haynes, he just hasn't lived up to where he was drafted at. You know, and, you know, I had a friend, you know, my guy Adam. He was one of the only Pistons fans I knew. And they needed a point guard bad. He's just not the guy. And so I think going into the draft, they're looking at who can they, obviously Ivy was the number one choice, but who's going to fit well? And when I look at their needs, they really didn't need any forwards. You know, they got Sadiq Bey. Yes, you traded away Jeremy Grant, but I think Sadiq Bey is their, you know, forward, their number three, like their 3-and-D guy. And so I think they just wanted somebody that's going to match up well. The number one thing going into the draft is who's going to match up well with Cade. And him and Ivy are going to be a disgusting backcourt because they both can play on and off the ball. They both can be scorers. They both can be playmakers. Ivy is somebody who's going to attack the basket, attack the pace, push the pace, put pressure on that defense. And he's not going to have to be looked at, I think he could have been, but he's not going to have to be looked at as being the number one guy. And that's what I love with a lot of these picks. Like, they're going to teams where they already have, except for Paolo in Orlando. That's a question mark on who the number one is. But that's why I feel like he was the best choice for number one, because he has number one scoring ability right away. But when I look at, you know, the second pick, the third pick, and I look at this pick, even, you know, the Kings pick, they're not being looked at as guys that can come in and be their number one option for that team. Although they can be for a different team, that's not what they're asked to be. And so that's why I think they're going to have so much success. And that's why I think Ivy's going to have so much success. The athleticism he brings, the scoring ability he brings. He can play the point if he has to, and Cade can be the scorer. Like, they're going to feed, I think, more. I think they're going to be better, especially because I think he's just a overall better player than Killian Hayes. I think this backcourt is going to be special. And when I look at what else they did, they brought in, you know, Dern, right? And Dern is a guy who's going to be talked about a lot, you know, moving forward when I talk about these winners and losers of the draft. Dern is a guy, you know, from Delaware. I just want to throw that out there, you know, the Delaware PA connection, Philly connection. But he's a guy that is one of the best shot blockers coming into the draft. one of the most athletic bigs, if not the most athletic big, coming into this draft. And when I look at the value he's going to bring for this team, it's amazing. It's honestly amazing because, again, he's not going to be looked at, you know, coming in, you have to be the starting guy. He may win that starting role, but you already have a guy in Isaiah Stewart who's a young big man. You also have a guy in Marvin Bagley who can I think he's going to be the starting forward for this team in a breakout year. But you already have guys, you know, Kelly Olynyk. You know, I don't know if he's still on the roster, so don't quote me. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, you got Luka Garza. You got, you know, bigs on this team already that you can learn from. You know, he's only 18. Now, I'm not saying he can't come in and come in right away, win a starter position, be a horse, be a tank. That can happen. But I'm saying, again, you're not looking at him to say, come in right away, be a Shaq. You don't need him to do that. He can do that, but you don't need him to do that. And I think that's going to make life easier for these picks, for the Pistons, because you don't need them to come in right away and just take all the workload. And that's beautiful for a young team. And that's when I feel like that's what I think personally is going to help their confidence. And so I love those two guys, what they did in the lottery. And a lot of people saying, you know, bringing in Dern is probably going to stop them from getting getting DeAndre Ayton. I said why? Dern is 18. They can still go in and try to bring in DeAndre Ayton if they want to. And I think that's going to be even better for Dern's, you know, him progressing in the NBA. But again, that's just me personally. But I love what they did. I think they're by far the number one winner because you got your guy at 5 without having to make a trade. Yes, you made a trade to go get Dern, right? You got a 2025 pick. That's going to be, it's really the Milwaukee pick. But you got it from the Jeremy Grant trade. But you go and you get your guy at 5. And I think that alone makes them the winner because they didn't know if they were going to get him. And the fact that they got him, the guy that they wanted. And they go in and steal another lottery pick in Jalen Dern. Yes, I said steal because they traded away a 2025 pick they didn't care about. It's just amazing. And in my opinion, they're the clear-cut winner of the draft. But they're also, you know, there are a lot of winners, you know. I look at everybody in the top 3, winner. I look at the Sixers, winner. Grizzlies, you know, I think what the Grizzlies did, winner. Like, there's a lot of winners, but I just want to give a shout-out to the Pistons because, you know, they're the ultimate winner. I even look at the Pelicans. I think what they did was amazing in this draft, honestly. I look at the Cavs. I think what they did in this draft was amazing. A lot of teams got their players. I look at the Hawks. They ended up getting AJ Griffin. I love that for them. You know? I honestly love that for them. And, you know, the Spurs, I'm going to talk about why I don't like their, you know, lottery pick. But you end up getting, you know, Malachi Brand from Ohio State at 20. Winner. You know? So there were a lot of winners in this draft. Then you have the 25th pick. Winner, you know. So listen, now look at the Mavericks getting Hardy at 37, W. But you know there were a lot of winners in this draft, honestly. But I want to talk about some losers real quick. Wizards loser. Why? Because they didn't go out and they didn't get a point guard. I'm just saying it. They didn't go out, in my opinion, and get a guy that's going to be their future. They got another forward. When you already have Kuzma, when you already have Hachimura, when you already drafted Dene, you know, last year. I just don't know and then Beal reports that he wants out. So I just don't know what the plan is right now for the Wizards. Like, who is your point guard for the future? That's what I would have looked at. That's why I would have tried to move it up, you know, honestly. I would have tried to move up and get an Ivy. That's what I would have tried to do if I was the Wizards. I'd have put a package together for a quote-unquote win-now team. I'd have threw in, you know, a KCP. I'd have thrown some picks to try to move up and get an Ivy. Because when I look at this team, I look at the fours that they have. You know, Crisper, Dene, Hachimura, Kuzma, KCP, all guys that's playing the 2 and the 3, and sometimes the 4. You know, and they didn't get a center. I mean, you have Kristaps, who's your big, you know. You have Kristaps, who you're big, and you have a guy who Thomas Bryant, right? I'm questioning what the Wizards did, right? The Knicks. Again, yes, you got 3 future first-round picks, but they're all lottery protected, right? And okay, you can make moves with them, but I haven't seen the Knicks be an ultra-aggressive free agent trading team. And when I say that, they brought in a whole bunch of guys. They signed people, but what have they won? You know, so that's why I call them a loser, because if you have a lottery pick, take a lottery player, which you could have, that could have came in and had an immediate impact on their roster, you know? So it's not like this team's a championship team that don't really need their pick, right? That's not the case. Because at 11, you could have got a lot of guys. You could have got a Jalen Williams, who I'm going to talk about. You could have got a Dern. You could have got a, I don't want to pronounce his name, but a 4 from Kansas, you know? You could have got Mark Williams. You could have got who the Thunder took him. You know, there's so many players available at that. You could have got a Tata. There's so many players that were available that they could have taken. Or they, it was just, in my opinion, there's no way that the Knicks came out this draft and didn't draft anybody. Especially with that lottery pick. That's just the mind-boggling thing. That's why they're on my loser list. And they're going to stay on my loser list. I look at the Thunder. The Thunder, you know, don't forget that. The Thunder not really a loser. I've ranted about that. The Kings are a loser. Number 4 pick, you get your guy, but you could have got so much better if you'd have made a trade and you still would have got him. So those are my losers, honestly. My losers are the Knicks, Kings, and Wizards. By far, those are my losers. So after this ad, we're going to talk about some steals of the draft. All right, now it's time to talk about some steals of the draft. And the first player I'm going with is a guy that I probably said 12 times already. But again, I honestly felt like he was, you know, the second, third best center. I would say second best center in the draft behind Chet. I'm going to call Chet a center. And that's Jalen Dern. I mean, ultra athletic, a shot blocker. He's honestly the prototypical NBA center today. Can run the floor, can defend, and can defend well on the pick and roll, and that can rebound. And he's a lob threat. You know, obviously he's not, you know, the floor spacing center just yet, but he's 18. Let me say this again. He's 18. Can attack the rim, can defend, can rebound. And here's my thing with centers. I don't need a center to be a three-point shooter. He could develop a mid-range. But right now, what he brings to the game right now and his potential to the NBA right now, and the Pistons were able to get him trading for him for a 2025 Milwaukee first-round pick, I think was a steal. And I think he's one of the hidden gems. I don't even want to say hidden gems, but I just think he's a steal in the draft because, you know, when I look at the Spurs at number 9, right, and in my opinion, they needed a center to match up well with DeJounte Murray, with a Johnson, with a Lonnie Walker, a guy that can rim. This is what he does well. Rim run, lob threat, finish at the basket, you know, his finishing, his defense, and his rebounding. I think that's the thing that a lot of teams needed. When I look at, you know, the Spurs at 9, I'm surprised they didn't take him. You know, and I was going to say the Hornets at first. Honestly, that's where I thought the Hornets were going to go. I honestly thought the Hornets was going to go Dern. And I don't understand why they didn't go Dern, in my opinion. I don't understand that. Why they didn't go Dern. They went in Mark Williams. They could have had Dern and still traded away number 15. But listen, Dern to the Pistons. I love the move. He's one of my steals of the draft. Next player I'm going to talk about is Hardy. Oh, my goodness. I apologize for butchering this young man's name. Jaden Hardy going to the Dallas Mavericks. Now, going into the, you know, season, Hardy was looked at as a top 5 pick. Honestly. And even going into the draft, I thought he was going to be a first-round pick. This dude, for the Mavericks to get him at 37 is a huge steal. Oh, my goodness. Now, when you look at how he performed in the G League, you know, scored 21 points. You look at his efficiency, 40% from the field, about 34% from the three-point line. but 3 turnovers, right? But look where he's going to. Again, I think it's perfect when you have talent going to a team where they're not looked at to be the main man guy. So right now you have Luka. You got Tim Hardaway Jr. You have Spencer Dinwiddie on the roster. And technically still you have Brunson, right? 4 guards. Development. If the Mavs are able to develop this guy, he is going to fit their timeline window in the win now plus the future. Because he's a scorer. And off the bench, you know, you always need scoring on your team. Dynamic guards that can change the pace. You know, when I look at Luka, we all know how Luka plays the game. He has his own pace. He doesn't rush anything. And so we have, you know, a different pace of guard that can, you know, like Jalen Brunson and Dinwiddie did, that changed the pace of the game. When I look at Hardy and what he can bring, you know, if they develop him right and his game goes up to that next level, this guy is going to attack the rim, which I said they always needed, a guy that's going to attack the rim, and he's going to score. And I think he has the ability to be a two-way player in today's NBA. And he was the guy that going into the year was regarded as a top 5 pick, didn't have the best, you know, shooting splits with the G League at night. You know, but man, I honestly think he still should have been the top 25 pick, and the fact that he fell to 37 to the Dallas Mavericks, I think is amazing. Next player I want to talk about, which might be the biggest steal of the draft, is how in the world did... y'all, and when I say y'all, I mean NBA teams, somehow, some way, they let Patrick Baldwin... They let Patrick Walden go to the Warriors. Like, man. I just find it funny how, you know, again, a lot of players, and this is what I like about draft, and I like how the year goes on and you see prospects change, right? Because this is a guy that was looked at going into the season, his season, you know, as one of the best prospects going into the draft. And he didn't post the best numbers at Milwaukee. Shot 26% from the three-point line, 41%, you know, from the 34%, I'm sorry, from the field. When you look at his mechanics, right, you look at him being 6'9", 6'10", and only played 11 games. I mean, this dude right here, when he fits the word, again, when I look at steals, I look at, you know, talent plus where you were drafted at plus how would you fit the team's timeline. And he's not going to be looked at as a guy that has to come in right away. You know, he might even be in the G League. Who knows? But the fact that he's a 6'9", 6'10 guy that's going to play 2-4, body's going to fill out. You have Draymond, you have Iggy, you have Wiggins, and you already have the two best shooters on your team, and you're a guy that likes to shoot a three that has good, great mechanics. They just got a big shooter, another shooter. And I think for the future, if it all pans out well, him, Moody, and Kuminga, the 2-3-4 for this team, plus Wiseman at the 5, is going to be disgusting. And Poole, if he stays at the point guard position. That can, quite honestly, be this team's second unit. But that is a starting lineup for the future. And the fact that Patrick Baldwin slid all the way, to the 28th pick, I think is laughable. You know? Another guy that I'm surprised he slid this low was drafted, I think, right before this, if I'm not mistaken. Ty Ty Washington going to the Rockets. You know, I look at this Rockets team. They do so well. They've been doing so well in the draft. I'm surprised he slid all the way. This is a player I honestly thought could have went to the, you know, could have went to the Wizards. You know, I talk about guards they could have got. Could have went to the Wizards. And he slid all the way to 29, you know, and he can play both point guard and off the ball. Him coming off the bench behind Green, behind KPJ, I think is going to be amazing for this team's future. And I just don't understand how he slid all the way to 29, honestly. You know, but those really are my steals of the draft. And I'll say this, you know, and let me rephrase, let me combine steals and hidden gems. Let me combine steals, hidden gems, and just great overall picks. Because I talked about the Thunder, and I did a little rant on them on why they went 10-12, didn't trade. But I love what they did. Getting Dieng from France. He's a long-term investment, quote-unquote. But he, oh my goodness. He has the potential to be amazing for this team, this young team at that. Again, I question when is their winning window, but I think he has the potential to really help this team out. Then I look at what they did getting Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. You know, did a lot in his pre-draft process. He has great size and he can shoot. He might not be the most athletic, but he's a guy that's going to help put the ball in the basket. Something that this team needs, you know, a lot. Because, like, I read their roster off plenty of times. They got a good 3, 4, 5 guys. But he's going to have a chance to come off this bench. You know, more than likely he's going to come off the bench and have a chance to put the ball in the basket. And I honestly think, you know, getting him at 12, getting Deang at, you know, 11, they could have went other places. But I honestly feel like they drafted the guys that are going to fit well for them. Then I look at a guy that got drafted in the second round, right? And Vince Williams, a guy who I watched, you know, because shout out Delaware, Bones Highland went to VCU. And so I watched that team closely because I just wanted to, you know, show love to a Delaware guy. And I watched this guy in Vince Williams, who, in my opinion, when Bones was there, especially his Bones last year before he went to the draft, Vince was the number two. And this year, Vince was the number one. And I look what, you know, he can bring, a 3-and-D guy, a two-way guy, a very versatile guy. And he worked on his three-point shot. And I think, you know, for the Grizzlies, he just fits that mindset, that grindhouse mindset, that gritty mindset, that gritty play style. I think that's what, you know, he could potentially bring for this team. And I love the value right there. I love the value right there. And I think the most surprising, still hidden gem, however you want to call this, right, is the Portland Trailblazers drafting Shaedon Sharpe. And I put a tweet out. You know, I said, Portland will either... Matter of fact, let me pull this tweet up so I won't even misquote myself. You know, the tweet said, does Portland draft for the future or go NBA ready
or do they trade the pick?
And in my opinion, they went for the future, right? So when you look at Anthony Simons and when he was drafted to this team, there were guys, you know, who could have, in my opinion, came in and maybe had immediate impact. You remember Simons, he wasn't a guy that was playing all the time. You know, it took him a minute to honestly really get into his role in the G League a lot or just not playing. And so when I look at Sharpe, it could honestly be the same. And he could be their person for the future. Now, I'm honestly shocked at this. Let me say this. I'm not shocked at the pick. Honestly surprised he didn't go higher. You know, I think Sharpe ceiling is crazy, you know, and I think it's been proven that you don't honestly need college to come in and have an immediate impact. So it all depends on how he develops these next couple of months, because he honestly can be a guy coming off the bench that can play 10 to 15 to 16 minutes and provide some scoring and athleticism. He has the tools to be a next level scorer. He already is a great shooter. He has the tools to be a very good defender. A lot of people just question him because he didn't play at Kentucky. And I feel like if he did play at Kentucky, nobody would be questioning this pick, but nobody saw him play in over a year. And so that's my question with Portland as a team, because, you know, you trade for Grant. And so a lot of people say, and when they're in mold, you know, they could have did a lot with that number 7 pick as far as bringing in more assets. But I love his game. And I'm not mad at this pick, because when I look at the Portland Trailblazers, a lot of people say they should blow it up. If they do blow it up, he's a guy that's going to be there for the future. So those are my, you know, steals of the draft, as you would say. And to wrap it up, I just want to, you know, talk about free agency, because I was very surprised there weren't more trades on the draft day. You know, a lot of, you know, the only, I would say, trade that I like was my Sixers one, as far as, you know, players being moved. Like that weren't in the draft. I didn't really see a lot of other trades go down. And so when it comes to free agency, right, what would happen to Kyrie, I think, is the number one question mark on everybody's list. A lot of people saying he's going to Lakers. You know, the Knicks. The Knicks keep talking about Jalen Brunson. I don't understand why they're not talking about Kyrie. Kyrie can easily come on over to New York. And New York, I think, has enough to go get Kyrie. But it's all if they want him and he wants to go there. But like Kyrie, you know, being in free agency. And I'm not going to, you know, read I'm not really going to go too deep into this because this is a draft, but, you know, you got guys like Kyrie, like Bill, like Zach LaVine, you know, like TJ Warren, like Aiden, like Nurkic. You know, you got Derrick Jones Jr. I'll say this. This may not be the best free agent class, right? But you got guys that I feel like that can make an impact for certain teams if they need to. And so I'm surprised that we didn't see a lot more trades happen. But I'll say this with the NBA draft to wrap it up. It was an excellent draft. You know, this is a draft where we're going to have to see how players turn out. We're going to see, you know, this top three, who will be the best one? Will the Kings regret, you know, taking, not trading? Will the Thunder regret not doing more? Will the Knicks regret trading? So many question marks in this draft, but I'll say this. I think, again, it was an excellent draft. I love, you know, seeing players accomplish their dreams. And then, you know, talk about players that then they get drafted. You know, you have a Sharif O'Neal. In my opinion, I didn't think Sharif was going to get drafted. I think right away he knew that he was going to be a guy. Well, I want to say this. He didn't know this, but I personally think I knew he wouldn't get drafted, but I knew he would end up going right away to a team for summer league. And I'm not surprised with the Lakers. The Lakers also got, you know, Scottie Pippen's son, Jr. I thought he probably had a chance to get drafted. Surprised he didn't. But, you know, that's what's next, summer league. And so when I look at these teams and who I'm excited to see play in the summer league, as far as teams that drafted, I'm excited to see the Thunder in the summer league because they got three top 12 guys. I'm excited to see, you know, all the top three guys honestly play in the summer league. I'm excited to see the Pelicans in the summer league, the Spurs in the summer league, you know, the Hawks in the summer league, the Rockets in the summer league, the Grizzlies in the summer league. Like, I love watching the summer league because I just love to see these young prospects and see them, you know, their first time and getting their NBA experience. Then you see them again in preseason and then when the season starts. But yeah, that's a wrap for this episode. Real quick, let me just talk about the Spurs. I don't know why the Spurs didn't take Durant at 9. But that's it. I ain't going to dwell on it. You know, I say this. All top 10 picks, I think everybody got the guy that they wanted. I look at what the Pacers did, getting my guy from Arizona. I think he's going to end up very, very well. But I just don't know what the Pacers are going to do. But again, that's a wrap. Don't want to rant. Don't want to dwell. Peace out. Thank you all for listening. That's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Please reach out to me. Follow me on my social media, sportsw_Chris for Instagram, for Twitter, for TikTok. I'm very interactive on all three medias. I post daily on all three of them. You can definitely catch me on Twitter. I'm constantly tweeting about sports. Instagram, I'm constantly posting content, and I'm getting more active when it comes to TikTok. Also, make sure you take a look at my website, Sports Talk with Chris. That's where you're going to find a lot of my articles. That's where you're going to be able to find, you know, my new episodes on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, my new YouTube videos. I'm going to start streaming very, very soon again. So my website is going to be my main hub. I know I had a Linktree. You know, my Linktree is something that I used for a long time, but now it's going to be that website. So, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow me on TikTok, you know, I have that Linktree in my bio. Soon it's going to be my website. And I will post a tutorial on how to find all my platforms on my website very, very soon. But make sure you take a look at that website. But again, thank you all for listening. Have a good rest of the day.